بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. Tonight is the 27th night of the month of Ramadan. And Nurun ala Nur, Nur upon Nur, it is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of a believer, the night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the doors of Allah's rahmat are open, Allah's mercies. And is a night for us to engage in the amal of the people of Medina Munawwara, Ruda Mubarak, Ruda upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Together with that, because it is the month of Ramadan, the special amal is Quran tilawat. So in regards to Laylatul Qadr, hadith number 21, who misses Laylatul Qadr. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال دخل رمضان فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا شهر قد حضركم وفيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر من حرمها فقد حرم الخير كله ولا يحرم خيرها إلا محروم. سنن أبو ابن ماجة. The Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه reports once when رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had commenced, once when Ramadan had commenced, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a month has verily dawned upon you, wherein lies a night better than 1,000 months. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can imagine and we can picture that the majlis was taking place. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he highlights this and he says to them, a month has verily dawned upon you, wherein lies a night better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of his blessings has been indeed deprived of all good. And none is deprived of his good except he who is completely unfortunate. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, once when Ramadan had commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a month has verily dawned upon you, wherein lies a night better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of his blessings has been indeed deprived of all good. And none is deprived of his good except he who is completely unfortunate. Note, who can doubt how unlucky a person is if he is deprived of the great good of Laylatul Qadr? Who can doubt how lucky a person will be if he misses all the favors bestowed upon him? Despite this, there are many of us who are still deprived. There are those who, because of their jobs, have to stay awake at night throughout the year. What difficulty is there for these people to stay awake at night in this month, only for the sake of gaining reward of over 80 years of ibadah in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To stay awake at night in this month should not be too difficult for them. But because of lack of interest, there is no desire in the heart. If there was a desire, then not only one night, but 1,000 nights in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become extremely easy. Hazrat says in a poem, Ulfat mein barabar hai wafa ho ke jafa ho, har cheez mein lazzat hai agar dil mein maza ho. Subhanallah. See, when one is really attached, he welcomes any treatment from his beloved. When one is really attached, he welcomes any treatment from his beloved. And who is the beloved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is really attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is with Allah. His connection is there. He wants to be close to Allah. Allah is the goal. Allah is the ma'bud. Allah is the masjood. That my head is down for Allah. I worship only Allah. So when the attachment is there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved, then he welcomes any treatment from his beloved, be it kindness, be it harshness. If the heart is satisfied, everything is enjoyable. It is that desire that we must create. After all, there must have been some reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had performed such lengthy rakats in salah that caused his beloved feet to swell. He did this in spite of knowing of the promises and glad tidings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him. We also claim to be the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who really valued these special moments for ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, themselves took advantage of these moments and as such set an example for the ummah to follow. They left no room for the critics to question that who could fulfill the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who else can do it. It is only a matter of convincing the heart. That if you have the desire to do something, then the most difficult task becomes easy. This could only be achieved by staying in the company of a recognized shaykh, a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for spiritual guidance. When we see the Allah wala standing in salah, then we say subhanallah. Mawlana Abdullah Kapodravi rahmatullah alayhi, who was the the Muhtamim and principal of Falahi Darin Tadgeshwar. He said he didn't dabble. Once he came to our Darulum and he mentioned, he said, we had a jalsa in Dabil, and we invited the guest of Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Hussain, Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Badni Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Badni Rahmatullah Ali, many of us may not know about him. It is that illustrious personality, our Shaykh says, who we should send Isala Sawab for. It was because of his tireless efforts, today we have Iman. For 18 years, he said, in Madinah Munawwara, for 18 years he taught Hadith Sharif at the road of Nabi Ali Salat, right to the qabr, right next to the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, when his eyes fell upon the plight and the conditions of the Muslims in India, what was happening to them, what the British are doing to them, they just left them as Muslims by name, but no Iman, really no Islam. It is that time that he left Hijaz al-Muqaddas, Madinah Munawwara, with a fikr in the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he came back to India tirelessly. Tirelessly he traveled the length and breadth of the country, reviving the sunnah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned about him, over 80 years old. He came for the jalsa in Dabil, a long jalsa till almost midnight, over 80 years old, traveled by train, came, gave the bayan. And he says, we were in khidmat, we were young students at that time. So in the mehman khana, in the guest room, we put a charpai for him, we put a bed for him in the corner, he will take a rest. So when he entered the mehman khana, the guest room with his khadim, then he asked him, corner mein kya hai? So what's in the corner? There's a charpai hai. There's a bed there for you. Usko nikalo. Take it out. Where's my chadar? Where's my shawl? Put it down on the floor. Put it down on the floor. Old man at that age, I must have missed my tahajjud namaz. They were convinced that we have to stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get these favors and bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as he could take a rest, a young alim came, barging in. And he said, Hazrat, I open one madrasa nearby, just outside the village, please come make dua. Because tomorrow morning we have a train early in the morning, so I won't get a chance. Now is the only time, after midnight, over 80 years old. So Hazrat says, when he looked at the murids around him, what daggers they're giving this young alim, that they'll take out his heart right now. Hazrat is so tired. And you still come and you ask him to come make dua. These are the friends of Allah. Where their hearts are, what love for mankind. When he saw this, so he caught the hand of the young alim, and he told his murids and his khadims, Tum log so jao, main chalta hoon. Say, you all sleep away, I'm going with him. And he went with him. Not in a car, not in a taxi, ox wagon. On an ox wagon. Just to go make dua from a small madrasa on the outskirts of the village. And then the khadim says, Hazrat came back late at night, tired. He lay down maybe for an hour or two. But the burn in the heart to talk to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he was up again for tahajjud. 2 hours tahajjud. 2 hours tahajjud, and he got them up, chalo, we have to go back to the train station. And back again on safar. This is the desire they had in their hearts for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what they left for the ummah, a legacy. Just through personalities like these. Through personalities like these, we received our Iman. Indo, subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. These are the ulama ikram that give the qurbani. They give the qurbani. It is mentioned in about a week or 2 weeks, when the British declared that now they will eradicate and wipe out Islam from India, they kill 15,000 ulama. 15,000 ulama within a span of 2 weeks plus minus. Not one of them gave up the call of jihad. Not one of them. To the extent is written in kitabs, the qurbani they gave for Iman to come to us, what was the burn in their hearts? You could have just gave it up. They were given bribes also. They were bringing the families of these ulama. These ulama, for us just to understand, these were ulama that were senior, with big beards, grey white beards, teaching in Darul Ulum, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, teaching big kitabs. They picked them up from there, imams of masjids. And they would line them up 10 at a time. Call a young soldier, let's see what a good shot you are. Let's see how quick you'll put them down. It was like a game for them. Some ulama ikram, they would bring them with their families. They would bring them with their families and little children, sons and daughters and wives. And they would line them up. And the children are crying and the gun pointed. Do you retract the fatwa of jihad? No, I don't. We can imagine that one of them gave it up. Was it hard for us to give up sin? They gave up their lives because they knew with the blood of Shahadat, this Iman would be preserved. They watered the garden of Iman with their blood. Today we have Iman, we are sitting here to give up our sweat a little bit, our bad habits, our cell phone, sitting in the masjid, still too scrolling on the phone, the bayans are on, majalis are on, we can't attach our hearts anymore. They gave their hearts. The children are looking at them, their wife is looking at them. We could have told them, give it up, come home. Give it up, come home, they give you a job in the British Army. Not one of them. One alim, they caught him and his son, about 11, 12 year old son. Hazrat mentioned the incident to us also. They caught him and his son. And this certain alim was well aware of the plans that the ulama had in getting the British out of India. And his son also was privy to this. He also knew about it more or less. He would hear the conversation sometime. So they continued asking him, what's the plan? But he was afraid that if he asked my son, he might disclose the plans. This is iman. So he told him, I'll tell you one condition. He had the fear that his son might give in. Young boy, 11, 12 years old. So he told him, I will tell you one condition. What's the condition? Kill my son first. Kill my son first, then I will tell you. They killed his son in front of his own eyes. Then he told them, do what you want, you won't get a single word out of me. Do what you want, I will not say a single word. The British officer asked him, are you insane? We just killed your son because he would give out the secrets. We just killed your son and now you're prepared to give your life. What is wrong with you? One answer he gave them, iman. Iman. He said the British officer continued repeating, iman, 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 till he became insane. Couldn't understand what is iman. Can iman do this, something to you like this? That you prepared to protect the ummah and give the life of your own child and your own life. This is when the desire will come in the heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything can be sacrificed. Everything can be qurban. My loves, my passion, my desires. And to give everything up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the nights to make the decision of Allah. Allah prepared to give up everything. To become yours, the sinful life, the hobbies, the entertainment, the playing, the futile sports, wasting our life, just running behind a ball, hitting a ball. I say, this is life. This is life. This is not life. Look at the nights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For what his feet swelled up, for the ummah to be sitting here today. These ulama gave their lives for the ummah to be sitting here today. And they would say they would burn the ulama. They would take them and wrap them in pig skins, hang them from the trees alive and set them alight. Set the bodies alight for days it would burn. To show others, if you try something, what does this will do to you? 15,000 ulama. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. Our forefathers, they made the qurbani for us to get iman. How easy it is for us now to sell my iman. Just on the internet, on some app, or some sports, Isha Salah will go, and Namaz will go, Salah in the Jama'ah. Salah with Jama'at in the masjid. When Nabi Ali Sallallahu gave his life for Salah with Jama'at, we just let it go. We're reading Namaz. Well, how are we reading the Namaz? What kind of garb also? Qurbani was given. But the deen to remain alive and our lives, deen came with Qurbani, deen would remain with Qurbani and deen would spread with Qurbani. So Hazrat mentions, the Shaykh Ghari Asab Rahimullah mentions, after his life experience, he says this could only be achieved by staying in the company of a recognized Shaykh for spiritual guidance. Tamanna dard dil ki hai tu kar khidmat faqiron ki nahi milta ye gohar badshahon ke khazine mein. Hazrat says, if you wish to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah means, our Shaykh says so beautifully, when you ask Allah, Allah grant me your love, what does it mean? Ya Allah, not grant me that I love you, that Ya Allah, you love me. Ya Allah, you must love me, and if you love me, you will change my heart around. The one is, I love Allah, whether Allah loves me, or Ya Allah, I want you to love me. I want the love of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He loves me. Hazrat says, if you wish to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then humble yourself before the saintly ones. Then humble yourself before the saintly ones. In Urdu, say faqiro. In front of the faqir, they look poor. They look poor, but they are rich. And they are rich in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they are carrying in their hearts, what jewels, what gems, what muhabbat, what love they're carrying in the heart, go and make khidmat of those wali, those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who you feel in your heart, this is the true wali, a friend of Allah. He has a muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, go and make his khidmat. And upon this, ulama say there are three unwritten rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that person who has great fear of Allah. Great fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala puts that person's rab and awe in the hearts of the people. Is that fear? Awe. Sometimes I want to go speak, but I feel awestruck. But he's a simple person. He's a humble person. He'll welcome me. He'll hold me. He'll kiss me. Come, sit. Come, talk. But I feel that, oh, I just can't talk. There shouldn't be so much of fear now that it keeps us away from the friends of Allah. And that becomes nafsaniyat. The nafs say, don't go near. Why you not go near? Then now you and you don't talk, then you won't benefit. Go and talk, go and sit. What's going to happen? So when they have a great amount of fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala puts the awe in the hearts of people. Not fear. And in those who have great love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala puts their love in the hearts of the people. People begin to love them. Even they haven't seen them also. The Shaykh Zakariya rahimahullah, we haven't seen him. But how we love him. One day we will meet him. One day we will see him. Hazrat, what khidmat you made. 40 durood you compile. Fazaila amal you compile. Fazaila Ramadan. Fazaila hajj. Every step of our life you taught us what to do. How to make salat and salam. How to make tawaf. How to go to baqi. All the lessons you taught us, subhanallah. How the love comes into the heart. So many of the akabir we hear about, we never met them, but because Allah Ta'ala's love for them, and their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their love still continues. And right now we are sitting here, just last year or so, Hazrat mentioned to us one time, we were traveling, going to meet Mawli Mazhar Sahib. So Hazrat turned to me and he said, Mawli Yusuf, tell Mawli Mazhar, that Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahim was, his fuyuz and barakat is very strong still. Very strong. And we can see it. How strong their hearts are pumping in the love of Allah, we're still taking from their hearts. We're still drinking from the fountain of Allah's muhabbat, is still flowing through. This is a love they possess within their hearts. So when a person has a high level of love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala puts his love in the hearts of people. And when this person has a very high level of abdiyat, servitude to Allah, ibadat, putting his head down, and he loves to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the creation at his khidmat. Allah ta'ala puts the creation at his service. We find the senior ulama before, that how the people wait for them. Here locally, we find Yunus Patisab rahmatullah ala falis qabr al-nur. People will wait for half an 1 hour just to see Morana. Like, what are you waiting for? I just want to see Morana. I just want to put his shoes right. I want to close the door for him. 1 hour, tell him, go home, your wife is waiting for you. I said, I just want to make salam with you. What was it? Nobody was paying them. Our Honorable Sheikh, Mabla Amisab also, people wait to give him his stick, put his shoes on. And this was the sunnah of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he had a khat. As Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he was called Sahibul Na'alain, Sahibul Wisada, Sahibul Asa. These were his titles. Sahibul Asa, the carrier of the stick of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahibul Na'alain, he would carry the temple, Mubarak, the sandals of Nabi alayhi salam. He would come to the masjid, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would take out his sandals. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, a great sahabi, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you are laughing at his shin, because he's so thin, but with the qasam of Allah, his shins equals in the way to Mount Uhud. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is such a sahabi. He would pick up the shoes, the temple, the sandals of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, put it under his armpit, and he would carry it. He would carry the stick, the sandal and the cushion for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not hero worship. This is love. This is muhabbat. Not that you're worshipping the person. He's also insan. He has faults. But you love somebody for the sake of Allah. And we learned in the hadith also, when you love someone for the sake of Allah, then tell the person, uhibbuka fillah. I love you for the sake of Allah, which is sunnah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told the sahabi, you love him, go and tell him you love him. Go and tell him you love him for the sake of Allah. Not for some dunya need. Dunya need to tell the person, I love you. Wife will tell the husband also. Husband got married, newly wed. He'll open the door, he'll close the door for her, he put her dress inside also. How he'll make a khidmat, going to eat also. He'll take out the chair for her, let her sit first. But person does it now for somebody of friend of Allah he loves, then people will say, look at him. Hero worship. But let his favorite footballer come, soccer star come, then he's gone mad. Forgets who's his father, who's his mother. So and so is here, I have to go for the match, and he goes crazy, I want his shirt, I want his t-shirt, I want his, what do you call it? Signature, autograph, and how he worship those people. Sometimes even we have now his photo and his picture in the wardrobe also, and then we're wearing the t-shirt, and the t-shirt is messing our life, the messy one, messing up the life, but wear it, my son, hey, I love him, that person, I love him. As Mufti Ibrahim Salaji has mentioned, long kar guzari, So two brothers were coming for the majlis. All of a sudden they stopped coming. Then Mufti Sahib asked the brother, "Where is your brother?" Mufti Sahib, long story. We used to come. Then he fell ill one day. He called the family, "Quickly, take me to the hospital. Nothing wrong with you. I'm not feeling well. Take me, call the ambulance." Took him to the hospital. He went into a coma. All of a sudden, went into the coma. And when it came to Sakarat, about to leave this world, he got up all of a sudden. So he said, "He got up all of a sudden." He loved football. He loved it. He lived it. He played it. And that was his day and night. He woke, came out from the coma. He lifted his hand. And he said, "I love the soccer player." Whatever his name was. And he died like that. He passed with it. As he lived his life, he passed like that. Allah Ta'ala save us. As Hakim Sahib used to say, "Tari ashiqo me jina. Tari ashiqo me marna." "Ya Allah, let me live amongst your lovers. Let me die amongst them. Ya Allah, I didn't know what it was to love you. I learned from them how to love you. I didn't know what it was to love you. What it is that you will love me, what you will give me, till the heart pains in the love of Allah. Ya Allah, I want to live amongst them and die amongst them." Why in Qiyamah, Ya Allah Ta'ala will say, "Before you enter Jannah, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي." They first join my servants. So first you enter with my servants and my friends, then go into my Jannah. So to live amongst them and to die amongst them. So Hazrat says also, if you wish to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then humble yourself before the saintly ones. Go and make the khidmat, stay in their company. And Hazrat says, even if you stay there, dabbe ki tarah, dabbe, like one coach, like one dabbo, do nothing, just go and stay there. Just go and sit there only, something will come unto you. Something will come unto you. Stay with people who like cars, then you start looking for cars. People of sports, you start becoming sporty also. Even you do like fishing also, the way he tell you, "Oh, you know how we fish, how we caught, what a thrill it is to fight with that fish. Finally you got it. What a big catch it was." Even you can, it comes into your mouth also, "Let's go and try it at least." See how he's talking about it, deep sea. And then he said, "But you got to take tablets before that, you might get dizzy." Take all of that. But sit one program, then we get allergies. We get now irritable. The shkil will start now, "Oh, what's happening? Can't give my name now. But I'll give my name for everything else. There I will go, put my name, email address, password." Here, no password, no username, nothing was free. Allah will love you. Allah will give you His muhabbat. Go sit in the company, go sit in the khidmat. This treasure will not be found anywhere else, not even the vaults of the kings. They don't have in their vaults, in their treasury, the muhabbat of Allah. And that only Allah Ta'ala has kept in the hearts of the friends of Allah. As Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatul alayh, agar tum mitai, mithai chahte ho, to mithai walo ke paas chale jao. Agar kapre chahte ho, to kapre walo ke paas chale jao. If you want sweetmeats, then go to the people of sweetmeats, go to the sweetmeat shop. If you want material, clothing, fabric, then go to that shop. And if you want Allah, where you must go? To Allah wala. You find Allah Ta'ala by those who have Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. It is, look at the example of the following illustrious sons of Islam. One of them was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After performing his Isha Salah, he used to return home. And then remain in Salah throughout the night until the Adhan for Fajr was heard. Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen. Then to the whole night coming out in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is the example of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to fast the entire day almost throughout the year and have a little sleep during the first third of the night and thereafter spend the rest of the night in Salah. Subhanallah, we find in this zamana also, our Honorable Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu, almost 4 years now. Allah Ta'ala keep on with afiyat. Almost 4 years, every day roza. Every day fasting. Is it every day roza? No break? So how can we eat when the ummah doesn't have food? How can we eat if the ummah doesn't have food? Every day. Now in the month of Ramadan also, from Asr till after Isha, doesn't even go home also. Has iftari there in the first surf, just one cup of tea, maybe a small sandwich, and back to Quran tilawat. Then Taraweeh, then program from Asr, 11 o'clock. Maana only go home at 11 o'clock. These are now emulating the Sahaba of before. We have in our midst. We have amongst us such ulama and such lovers of Allah Ta'ala. Like this amongst us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to take from their hearts inshallah. We used to fast the entire year, almost throughout the year, and have a little sleep during the first third of the night, and thereafter spend the rest of the night in Salah. It is well known about him that he used to recite the whole Quran Sharif during one rakat. Subhanallah. In Ihya'ul Umuddin by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, Abu Talib Makki rahmatullah alayhi says that about 40 men from among the tabi'een, those amid sahaba radiallahu anhum, used to perform Fajr Salah with the same wudu with which they had performed the Isha Salah. They never sleep at night. Whole night in love with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This has been reported by many authentic narrators. As Shaddad radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu who used to stay awake throughout the night, turning from one side to the other side until Fajr Salah. Then he used to say, oh Allah, the fear for the fire of Jahannam has driven away sleep from my eyes. Apart from sleeping a little between Maghrib and Isha, Aswad bin Yazid rahmatullah alayhi used to remain in ibadat throughout the night during the month of Ramadan. Now let us look at a man like Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala, of whom it is said that he used to perform Isha and Fajr Salah with the same wudu for 50 years. Then there is an example of Sila bin Ashyam rahmatullah alayhi, who after spending a whole night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, used to say at the break of dawn, oh Allah, I am not fit to beg you of Jannah. I am not fit to beg you of Jannah, but all I ask is that you save me from Jahannam. At least do that for me. Qatada rahmatullah alayhi was a man who used to finish the recitation of the Quran Sharif every 3 nights of Ramadan, but during the last 10 nights, he used to complete the whole Quran Sharif every night. It is well known about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that for 40 years, he performed Isha and the following morning's Fajr Salah with the same wudu. To doubt these incidents is to deny true historical facts. When his companions asked him as to where he had got the strength for that, he replied, it is an answer to a special dua which I made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of the blessedness of his special name, Asma'ul Husna. He only slept a little in the afternoons, about which he said, in the hadith we are advised to do that. In other words, he slept in the afternoon so that he could practice on the sunnah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi used to cry so much whilst reciting the Qur'an Sharif, and that his neighbors used to feel pity for him. Once he wept the whole night while repeating the following ayat of the Qur'an Sharif again and again. بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Nay, the hour of judgment is a time promised for them, for their recompense, and that hour will be most grievous and bitter. In Ramadan, Ibrahim and Adham rahmatullah alayhi neither slept by night nor by day. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to recite the Quran Sharif about 60 times in his salah in the days and nights of Ramadan. Apart from these few pious people, there are countless others who used to act on the command of the following ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, I have only created man, I have only created jinn and human so that they may worship me. This is our primary function in this world. Nothing is difficult for those who have a will to practice. These are examples of the people of the past. But even today, there are also so many pious servants who serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the same devotion, even through their exertion. Even though their exertion does not equal those pious people of the past, their efforts are similar of these great souls. In these times of evil and immorality, they strictly follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Leisure, comfort and our daily responsibilities should not become obstacles and prevent us from devoting ourselves to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, Allah is addressing you and I. O son of Adam, spend your time in my service. Allah is asking, as we mentioned this morning also, the Khaliq and the Creator. Our Creator is trying to convince the makhluk that do something for me. Do something for me. I gave you everything. At least give something back. At least give something back to me. O son of Adam, spend your time in my service and I will bless you with contentment of the heart and I will remove your poverty. Otherwise I shall fill you with responsibilities and your poverty and needs will still remain. We see the reality and the truth of this daily. There are people who only serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need nothing in spite of having no apparent means of earning a livelihood. On the other hand, we see people striving hard to earn the worldly things and necessities. They become so engrossed in this task that no time is left for ibadat. In spite of spending all their time seeking material needs, they still remain full of worldly desires, necessities and obligations. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal and to spend this night fruitfully inshallah in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the Eidatul Jumu'ah, it is a Friday night already and the 27th of Ramadan, whether we'll see another night like this, such a beautiful night. Just for us to imagine that we're walking in the gullies of Madinatul Munawwara and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is waiting for us tonight. for us to devote our time. We'll have a little break now. Brothers can have some refreshments and come back for the majlis, inshallah. We'll start by 10:15, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Also very importantly, my dear brothers, upstairs and downstairs is the masjid. So we keep the respect, we keep the etiquette of the masjid also. We're partaking of meals. We make niyat of nafil i'tikaf also. Very quietly, nicely, sit down, have our meals. And for Allah's pleasure, Allah's sake, let us eat according to sunnah. Wash our hands, bismillah before that. Ensure we sit and we eat and drink. We don't stand. For Muslims, we are taught to sit with the right hand, read bismillah, recite our du'as. As much as we can clean up, keep the masjid clean also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah.